Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 72 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we've got a big show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk a lot of volleyball later with three different guests. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest to kind of recap the girls' swimming season. She was a standout sprinter on the Ankeny squad who led the Hawkettes to a third-place finish in the state meet earlier this month, and she was named the state swimmer of the year. She is Jasmine Rumley. Jasmine, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing good.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season. You guys certainly had a great state meet. You earned a trophy for the team's highest finish ever under Coach Michelle Stout. You know, did you and your teammates do anything special after the meet to celebrate?
Well, we have like a tradition. We always go to Wendy's right after the meet. So, I mean, we just did that, and I think it was more of a like, hey, we finally did it type of celebration. Like, we felt like state champs, and it was still third. But, like, we were up there taking pictures, and I think it took us, like, an hour to leave. So there wasn't anything, like, special we did, but it was just, like, the moment was special.
You guys are flying in style going to Wendy's. Wow. Well, like you mentioned, your team had placed fourth in the previous two seasons, coming up just short of earning a trophy. So, yeah, to move up to third place in your final state meet, you know, that had to be pretty satisfying.
It was. I mean, me and Scout and Sydney, we had all talked about how, like, it was our last year here and how we had to like push the team to want to get third. And with Sydney's like start in getting winning diving, that was like a big push. We were like, we have to back her up, and we did just that. So
yeah, I was just gonna ask you about that. You know, you guys had to score points in a lot of different areas to reach your goal, and things certainly did get off to a great start with the diving competition, you know, on Friday. All three of your diving qualifiers placed, and like you mentioned, Sydney won the state title. Now you've been here since Ankeny first started the diving program back in 2017. You know, can you believe how far those girls have come in such a short time?
It amazes me, like, just to think that we went my freshman year when we didn't have diving, we never, like, quite understood, like, what diving had to do, and, like, we didn't get to score with diving, so we were always far behind at the state meet. But once we got diving, we're kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then to come out and have a state champ and have all of our varsity divers place, our senior year was amazing, so it was fun to watch, especially Erica, to watch her, like, change from her freshman to sophomore years. She's grown so much as a diver.
Now, Erica's been able to do both the swimming and the diving. Did you ever try to get up on the board and try to do some dives?
There was one time last year before state that me and Scout had convinced Michelle to let us jump off, but we couldn't do anything fancy. We told her our freshman year that after we found out we were going to have a dive team, that me and Scout were going to go out for diving, and Michelle was not a fan, so we didn't get the chance to dive.
Well, another key for you guys was the relay events. You finished higher than you were seated in all three races, and, of course, you swam the anchor leg in two of them. In the 200 medley relay, you swam a split of 21.78 to rally your team from fifth to third place. And then in the 200 freestyle relay, you nearly matched that split with a 21.80 clocking as you passed four other swimmers, and you lifted your team from eighth place into fourth. Now, you told me after the meet that those swims were a result of simply wanting to do it for the team. It almost sounds to me like, you know, the relay events, you know, meant more to you than the individual events. And I guess when you consider the fact that those relays, you know, do count for double the points, maybe they do mean more to you, huh?
I would say I swim for more of a team aspect. Like, I'm a competitive person, but to go out there and do it for my team is, like, a big part of why I swim. Relays have always been one of my favorite events just because I know I have all those girls backing me up while we're doing it, and it's more like we're all pushing each other to do better. And so to go out there and swim as fast as I did for those girls, like, meant the world to me. And I knew we had to move up in our relays, and that was one of our biggest goals. Like, not just the two I was in, but also the 400. So that was a big goal going into the state meet, was just making sure that we moved back up to where we were started.
Well, of course, you had an incredible meet in your individual events as well. You won your third consecutive state title in the 50 freestyle. You posted a time of 22.53 that was just 0.02 of a second off the state record. Now, is that kind of a bittersweet win for you? Because I know how long you'd been pointing towards that record.
Yeah, it was bittersweet. I was kind of upset that I didn't get it, but at the same time, I can't be too upset because that's an amazing time. And to win it my senior year for the third time in a row, that was something special. So, I mean, not much to complain about.
Well, then you came back shortly thereafter, and you just obliterated the state record in the 100 freestyle to win, you know, that event for the first time. You won the race in 49.03, dropping more than a half second off the mark of 49.54 that was set 2 years ago by Ames's Amy Feddersen. Now, you showed a lot of emotion after that race. When you looked up at the clock after the race, what did you think your time was going to be? Did you think you had gone that fast?
I honestly didn't know what to expect when I first looked up at the record, at the board. I was like, well, I guess we'll see. And it takes forever for it to finally, like, switch to your actual time. So, like, sitting there waiting and then finally getting to see it was just overcome with emotions. Like, I looked at my mom and she was crying. And it was just something I'd been shooting for since season started and since last year. I mean, I've always wanted to win the 100. Amy's always pushed me to, like, do what I can. And she wasn't here this year, but I had to think that she was just to keep pushing. So,
well, of course, Amy was a longtime rival of yours. You know, she'd beaten you the 2 years before that. So did that give you a little more satisfaction to break her record?
I mean, it could have been anybody's record. It was just the fact that it was a record and I broke it. That was really just exciting.
Well, the team race did come down to that final event, the 400 freestyle relay. Your girls knew exactly what they had to do in order to stay ahead of Iowa City West for third place, and they came through with a seventh place finish that sealed the deal. You know, I'm sure you would have liked to swim, you know, in that relay as well, but of course you're limited to the four events. Was that kind of nerve-wracking, though, for you to sit there and watch those girls since you couldn't control the outcome?
Yeah, that was my first year not swimming on that relay, so it was – I didn't really understand how much, like, that relay mattered until I got to sit there and watch and, like, wait to figure out who placed what. But I don't think, like, everyone was sitting down at the end of their lane, and we were cheering and, like, screaming and standing, and it was, like, nerve-wracking. And just to watch them swim that well was amazing.
Well, I noticed that you and some of your teammates were really cheering for Dowling Catholic then in the final heat of that race. And you also cheered loudly for the Maroons when they received their state championship trophy. Now, were you guys just happy to see someone other than Ames come away with the trophy since the Little Cyclones had won 8 of the last 9 titles?
Both yes and no. I think Dowling had worked hard for it, so honestly, they deserved it. They came up short last year. And just honestly, to see someone other than Ames win was kind of nice. But it just came down to who worked harder for it, and Dowling won this year.
Well, I really wasn't surprised, but what a showing by your conference to sweep those top three places. Wow.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, Jasmine, you've signed a letter of intent to swim at Tennessee next year. You know, so what are your plans for the rest of the school year? Will you still play softball next summer, or will you have to start focusing on the swimming year round?
I'm still 50-50 on softball right now. I haven't fully decided, so I can't say whether I will play or whether I will not. But either way, I'll swim during the summer, which I haven't before, but I figured I probably should before I head out to Tennessee.
Well, I know last year you didn't go out for track because you had a conflict with swimming because you swam in that Junior Olympic meet, you know, in Des Moines. Of course, the Ankeny girls won that 4x100 relay at the state meet even without you. So are you tempted to go back out for track again?
I am not. The reason I did not go out for track was because my freshman year I ended up in a boot with such bad shin splints. And then my sophomore year I just didn't go to the doctor. So it was one of those things that hurt myself more or just to continue to do what I love to do most. So swimming had won that battle.
Sure, of course. Well, you told me a couple weeks ago that you learned the words to Rocky Top before you went down to Tennessee for a football game. You know, not to put you on the spot or anything, but can you recite a little bit of that for me, or have you forgotten the words already?
I have forgotten the words. All I know is home sweet home.
Well, I looked it up because I was just kind of curious, and I'm going to read this first verse because I think it's kind of funny. It says, wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no telephone bills. Once I had a girl on Rocky Top, half bear, other half cat, wild as a mink but sweet as soda pop. I still dream about that. I'm not sure what the song is about. Do you know what the song is
about? I don't know what the song is about. It's an amazing school song, though. I love it.
All right. Well, I remember that you picked Tennessee over Iowa and Ohio State when you verbally committed. I know you liked all three schools, but you just kind of felt like you were more at home in Knoxville, right?
I did. When I was there, it's just kind of – you just kind of know when it's the right school. And, like, the coaching staff, the teammates, like, everything, like, the environment it's in, it was just amazing, and it definitely just won my heart, so –
Well, Tennessee has a traditionally strong swim program and some amazing sprinters. You know, do you think you'll be able to crack the lineup right away as a freshman?
Honestly, I don't know. They, like you said, they have amazing sprinters, and our class right now coming in has amazing sprinters too. So it'll just come down to who gets what. So we'll see.
Well, coming into this year, you probably would have said that your best event was the 50 freestyle. But when you look at what you did in the 100 at the state meet, you know, maybe that isn't the case anymore. So going forward, do you think there's any chance you'll try to extend your speed over longer distances, like maybe the 200?
I have thought about the 200. I've swum it a few times. It's just nothing I've really, like, focused on, just because going from the 50 to the 2 is kind of hard, just because the 50 is such a flat-out sprint. But I wouldn't be opposed to start sprinting longer, if that makes sense. But I also could swim the 100 fly or the 100 back, because I can also do those too. So it would just depend on what they wanted from me when I head on down.
Sure. Well, I know you told me earlier, too, that you're planning to major in biology at college. What are you planning to do with that degree?
I have switched that, so I am going to study kinesiology instead.
Oh, okay.
So I want to be a PT after I get done with that. I had switched from – because my original plan was to go into pre-med and become a surgeon, but then you break it down, and, like, that's a lot of time, and to have a life outside of surgery would have been kind of hard. So it just came down to a time outside of, like, work, and then what I really, like, wanted to do. So I, like, talked to my mom about it, and we had decided that kinesiology was probably the best bet, and I've spent time with my fair share of PTs over high school season, and I've always loved watching them work, so that was a fun thing to finally come to.
Well, Jasmine, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Really appreciate it, and congratulations on a great year, and best of luck at Tennessee next year.
All righty, thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a volunteer assistant coach for the Ankeny Centennial Volleyball Team, but she's also a former standout player at Sumner who was inducted into the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Volleyball Hall of Fame on Friday during the state tournament at Cedar Rapids. She is Annie Stasel. Annie, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on your induction into the Hall of Fame. You know, what a tremendous honor. It must be very humbling, huh?
It is pretty humbling. It's been a long time since I've been in high school, so to just remember those days, it was a lot of fun, and to hear from people back home, and I know my parents were really proud, and they put a lot of time and effort into me, so I think it probably meant more to them to see that come to fruition.
Well, I was hoping to be over in Cedar Rapids on Friday if Ankeny had advanced to the Class 5A final, but that didn't happen, and I wasn't able to come over, but I did see some photos of your induction. You know, what was going through your mind during the ceremony? Was it kind of surreal for you?
It was. It was a lot of fun because I'd been thinking a lot about just where I had started in my interest in volleyball, because I wanted to be a football player for a long time, and my mom kind of put the kibosh on that one, and that's when my volleyball career started, and my parents had taken me to the state tournament. I think I was in eighth grade the first time I went, and I was pretty just enamored with the whole experience, and I literally had binoculars and watching players, and I can still remember those moments as a young one, you know, just wanting to be on that stage, and then to be there being honored for what I did in high school was pretty cool, to be on that same court.
Well, you mentioned your parents. Did you have a lot of family and friends there in attendance?
My parents, my sister, Jess and Sarah from our coaching staff were there, and some friends, coworkers. So that was good small contingent.
Well, I know you told me last week that Coach Wims was the one who nominated you for the Hall of Fame, so you thanked him for getting the ball rolling on your induction. You know, you had no idea that he was going to do that, right?
I did. I mean, he gave me a little bit of hint that he was on the committee and he was going to nominate me, but then I didn't find out for like a week and a half or 2 weeks after that it made it. I told him to don't forget to tell him I was in band and choir and All-State Triple Trio, and he said that didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I made it anyway. So, yeah, I have him to thank as well.
Well, you mentioned that it was 25 years ago when you played, so getting into the Hall of Fame, that really wasn't on your radar, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, people that were the same age as me have come and gone, and the other two people that were inducted are much younger than me. And when the IPTV emailed me to submit some pictures, digital photos of me playing, I was like, I don't think I have any of those. We didn't have social media. Google wasn't around. So I literally took black and white photos from my scrapbook of the newspaper articles from high school. So
hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. It worked out.
You used to see the photos of me back when I played. Man, that's black and white.
Yep, that's what I was, yep.
Well, you also told me this award gave you some street cred with your students, you know, so they were pretty impressed, huh?
It's kind of funny, I think, for them to see adults, you know, they don't see us as former teenagers. And so for them, I'd get asked questions before, like, oh, were you as good as Kenna Sauer or as good as Devin? And I'm like, no. Like, the game was completely different then. And volleyball really, like 1970, I think, was the first time there was a state tournament for the girls. So it's a pretty young sport overall, and the game has changed a ton from when I was in high school. So some of the awards are similar, but the game is completely different.
Oh, for sure. Well, it's got to be pretty cool, though, now to be able to tell people, hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. You know, you're in there with some pretty select company. So did you do anything special to, you know, to celebrate the honor?
You know, we went to the UNI Drake game when we got back and watched Kylie Mackey play. So that was fun.
Yeah.
More volleyball.
I was there too. Yeah, that was a fun match.
Yeah. And then Saturday just had some friends over, and they decorated my house and lots of old embarrassing pictures of me up and T-shirts made. So it was fun.
Well, let's talk about your career a little bit. You were a three-time first-team All-State selection at Sumner and twice were named to the elite All-State team. You averaged 4.5 kills per set while leading your team to the state tournament in 93, 94, and 95. You know, that's a pretty impressive resume. Even if you hadn't been named to the Hall of Fame, you know, you have to be pretty proud of what you were able to accomplish.
It was fun. We were the first team from my high school to qualify And then really the last group before we turned into Sumner Fredericksburg. So that was fun to watch them play at the tournament a couple years ago because they were like the kids of the players that I used to watch growing up. But it was a good experience. I mean, looking through my scrapbooks too, you kind of forget in a small town how fortunate you are. And it was a big deal in the community. And one of the decorations at my house was an old hammer hanky. We called them just orange pieces of cloth that literally just traced volleyballs on and had people's numbers. So it was really special for the community and our group of kids because we were the first ones since a girls basketball team in the 80s to make it to state. So it wasn't like we were a powerhouse school in many sports. So that was really special.
Well, I should look this up. And there's probably some people who will listen to this will probably be wondering this too. Where is Sumner?
It is in northeast Iowa. Tripola is probably the most recognizable volleyball school at this point. Wapsie Valley, Owine usually clicks a bell, but Waverly is the biggest thing that's by us. We don't have a stoplight. We don't have fast food. It's really just our school.
Gotcha. I went to college with one of my best friends up at Iowa State. It was from Tripola, so yeah, I know about where that's at. So, well, back in 94, you had 23 kills and 11 blocks in the state championship match, and you were then named the captain of the all-tournament team, even though your team lost in the final, right?
We did. Thanks for that memory.
It must have been a close match, though, huh?
It was side-out scoring then, so you played to 15, and you had to serve to score, and we were ahead 13-8, I believe, in game one and lost, and we were ahead 12-8 in game two and also lost. And then we were ahead 2-0 in game three, and then we got beat 15-2.
Oh, so, wow. Who did you guys play?
Dyke.
Oh, Dyke. Sure. Should have known that.
They were the end of my season for three out of my 4 years.
Well, they've ended a lot of team seasons.
Yes, they have.
Well, what are some of your other memories of playing in high school? Do you remember a lot of the matches that you played, or is it more about the relationships that you had with your teammates and coaches?
Yeah, we try to tell the girls that when they get to state two and feel the pressure, it's like you're not going to remember too many specific plays. You're going to remember the highest high and probably the lowest low, and everything in the middle is I don't remember. And I don't know if the girls will remember in 20 years. They might remember winning state, but probably not things in between. And the things that they talk about at banquets are the retreat that happens at the beginning of the year, silly things that happen on the bus. So I remember a few plays and a few moments. I remember us qualifying for state for the first time, and that's a pretty, you know, I can see the crowd. I can still hear them and feel what I was feeling that night. But other than that, it's just the pictures bring back a lot of memories for me, but no specific plays.
Well, then you wanted to play four seasons of college volleyball at Illinois. Now, coming out of high school, did you have a lot of offers? What attracted you to Illinois?
I think coming from a small school and coming from Iowa, some of our kids struggle with that too. You know, I wanted to go somewhere bigger, and I wanted to play with the best. And at that point, Michigan State had been to the Final Four, Ohio State had been to the Final Four, Penn State was just becoming the Penn State that they are now. And so my visit to Illinois was a match against Michigan State, and it had 2,000 people, and it was loud. And my visit the weekend before was at Kansas, which was my number one at that point in time, and they played in Allen Fieldhouse with about 50 people in attendance. So that really my visits, official visits, really swayed me, and I got enamored with the crowd and the big-time experience of Illinois.
Old Kansas, they're a basketball school, right?
I know. Well, I met Rafe LaFrance on my visit. He was actually from our conference, MFL Marmac.
Sure.
And Scott Pollard was there. So those are some cool moments, too, that I do remember.
Well, what kind of a college career did you have? Did you experience the same kind of success on that level?
No, I did not. coming from a small school to the Big Ten, I had a lot to learn just from small town to big school. I was like, saw someone smoking on campus, and I was like, you shouldn't smoke. It's bad for you. And that was just kind of the naivety of me coming from a small town. And I learned a lot from my Irish Catholic teammates in those first years. So I saw the court, but mostly in the back row, actually, which is surprising because I tell the girls now still, I'm like, if you can pass, you can play. Uh-huh. Because that starts at serving and passing. They're the two most boring skills in the game, but that's what wins championships and gets you playing time. So that's where I saw the court the most and played opposite for the first time on the right side my sophomore year, which I liked it over there because it was most like playing in the middle. but I didn't play a day of middle in college.
Well, I'm sure you saw a lot of great players, you know, playing in that conference. Who was the best player that you ever played against?
Probably Jen Flynn. She's Jen Oldenburg now, and actually Coach Devin Robinson on the USA Junior National Team. She was an outside hitter and a setter. 1 year did one year did the other one. So in a big school like that, to be able to be so good at those two positions was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And unstoppable. And she went on to play with the USA team, but she was a lot of fun. And I knew her from high school, so we would target her in practice, and I'd be like, don't serve it, my friend. But it was a lot of fun to play against her. She was pretty unstoppable and undersized, which she was fun to watch.
So how soon after you graduated from college did you begin your coaching career, and did you always know that you wanted to get into coaching?
Well, I coached some club teams while I was in college as a job, and a lot of us did that. And then, I went back to school right after I graduated, so I have two undergrads because I make good decisions. And then I coached at UNI for a year as a volunteer, and then because Dyke New Hartford ended my high school career so many times, I went and volunteered with them for a year, and I was like, oh, this is legit. This is what they do to be so great, which was fun. And those 2 years, I was really considered coaching as a career, but then the college game just didn't really mean that much to me after that, after having that high school experience. So after Dyke New Hartford, then I was in Grundy Center the next year, also as a volunteer. Nope, I was at City High before that, and then Grundy Center. So I bounced around quite a bit in different programs, which was fun because then I got to learn from each coach, and they were all very successful.
So what year did you come to Ankeny?
2005.
Okay, I was going to guess right around then. So, well, you obviously coached some great players at both Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial, you know, during your time here. Don't you think there might be a few more Hall of Famers to come out of this town eventually? You know, when you think about players like Jaylee Winters, Megan Ballinger, Kenneth Sauer, and Devin Robinson, I mean, some of them have got to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know. Dave Wimsey told me, I'm like, well, I didn't do much in college. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It's what you did in high school. And those girls you just mentioned were legit players in high school and then also had great careers in college or will soon. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll be standing there as well.
Well, before I let you go, Ann, I just wanted to ask you a few questions about this year's Centennial team. Obviously, the season didn't end the way you would have liked. This was the first time in school history that the Jaguars didn't qualify for state. But that certainly speaks well of the type of program that Coach Reinhardt has built here. You know, and I'd say that four state titles in 7 years is still pretty impressive. But as far as this year's team goes, you know, it just seemed like you guys had a hard time finding that right mix of players to put around Devin. Like maybe the chemistry just couldn't quite find the right chemistry.
Yeah, every year it's a lot of puzzle pieces to put together, and you're always just trying to find the right combination. And with Devin being gone half the season, it just takes a little bit longer. We thought some people would really feel more confident when she came back because they had to carry some loads, and they showed glimmers of hope, and we really thought, like, if we can make it to state, because at the Cedar Rapids Jefferson tournament in particular, it was like, this is what we've been waiting for, like, this is the answer. And it took us a while to figure out where to put Devin too, because we thought, well, if we put her on the outside, it maximizes how many swings she can take, but in the middle, she just kind of disrupts everything, and we got her the ball more than I thought we'd be able to in the middle, because previous years, sometimes, like, she doesn't have very many attempts, and so it all depends on passing, but she did a good job of being available, and the setters were awesome about finding her in different spots, so that was good.
Well, and I imagine it's got to be a little hard, too, when you have one player who's just that talented and that dominant, it's just kind of hard to figure out how to, you know, yeah, like you mentioned, how to use her and find the roles for the other kids.
Yeah, you know? We tried to, you know, you think of Maddie Kubik, she was very dominant, too, and so to have Devin on the court for six rotations, just as a back row attack, too. I mean, Maddie Kubik single-handedly beat us in the semifinals in 2017 with her back row attacks. And so we were hoping that could kind of be a role for Devin, too. It just didn't manifest the way we thought it would with serve-receive to get her those opportunities. And then so putting her in the middle was like, that's where the best option is.
Well, Devin obviously had a great career, and I know she's graduating at the semester and planning to get a head start on her college career at Wisconsin. You know, that must have been a privilege for you to coach a player like her, huh?
It was fun. It's funny to think, I've been teasing her because I see her every day, and I'm like, Devin, you literally had gummy bears on your face at our freshman banquet, and she doesn't remember. I'm like, you literally stuck them to your face because I said, this is the moment I'm going to bring up at your senior banquet. And I used to have a list in the summer like 30 things to like work on, just how to stand and serve receive, what to do on an overpass. And this year I'm like, what did they tell you at USA? Because, you know, she's above my pay grade now as far as skill and talent, and trying to get her ready for the next level. Like, what can we do for you now? Because you've kind of maxed out my list. I don't have anything else for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen a lot of great players come through ranking in the last 20 years or so, you know, and Devin maybe isn't the best all-around player that I've had the opportunity to cover, but, you know, there's no doubt that she can do some things at the net that maybe nobody else I've seen has been able to do. She's just got some crazy athleticism, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's a lot of fun, and what was fun this year is just seeing the dominance of the block at the net and really disrupting things. So it's a lot of things aren't statable that she does at the net, but it just makes everything easier for people because she draws so much attention when she's hitting that it opens up a one-on-one block or a big hole for somebody else. And then when she's blocking, she's so much easier to play defense behind because she's taking up so much space or they're tipping over her. So some of those things you can't stat that right. She does as well.
Now, did anybody ever get injured during practice from one of her kills?
No, but I'm not even sure anyone got hit in the face this year. Maybe a few shoulder shots. I think Josie Magner took the brunt of it last year.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, you guys will have to replace seven other seniors as well, but you will return several players who gained some varsity experience this season. You know, what are your expectations for next year? I'm sure some people will think that with Devin's graduation that maybe your team will take another step back. But, you know, do you think, you know, you guys can maybe be better than what some people might think?
I mean, I think if you don't think that, then you're probably setting the bar a little too low. So this is a group, a lot of them in any other year probably would have been playing JV just because we've had a lot of talent. So for them to have the experience at the varsity level already and really understand this is what it takes to win and how much they're going to have to raise their level, I'm sure, you know, they did work very hard, but it's hard to win. It's very difficult. And in previous championships, it came down to 2 points to get out of the semifinals. So I think they got a great experience. They're very coachable, which is awesome. I mean, I'll take coachable kids over talent any day. And so I think as a collective group, it'll be a fun ride next year.
Well, Annie, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Congratulations again on your honor. What a tremendous award for you, but certainly well-deserved. So thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny volleyball team. He returned to the program this season after retiring from that position in 2014, and he guided the Hawkettes to a 37-6 record and a semifinal appearance in the Class 5A state tournament. He's Dave Wims. Dave, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Well, thank you. It's good to be here, and yeah, this was a good year. Came back with not knowing really what to expect from the players, but I knew I wanted to get back into varsity coaching, and this was a great opportunity. I didn't have to travel. I was familiar with the school system. I knew the total support from the administration was there, and there was many positive factors coming back. Yet, I was a little bit apprehensive. You know, you never know what you're walking into.
Sure.
So, you know, after being away 3 years with no communication with the volleyball program, it was like, okay, I'm going to step in here and see what we can do.
Well, congratulations on the outstanding season. You know, you have to be very proud of what this group was able to accomplish.
Yeah, they did a great job, and they listened. They were coachable. They used all their experience. We added to it, and it came out in a positive way.
Now, when you made the decision to come back, you know, to take over the program, I know you were already somewhat familiar with the talent on the squad, but did you think the potential was there to make a run at a state title?
Not really. I knew I was it was going to be a personal challenge, and how could I tweak the players and get them better than they were a year ago, and how would they accept the change? What would be the struggles I'd face? And those are things that I was looking at, and that was part of the big part of what I was concerned with. But I must say, when I showed up and they showed up, there was a good feeling about the opportunity. I started in with a few drills, just assess their where they were and their talent in the gym, and then I built upon that, and I saw that there was places to improve, and there are some things that we could use, and so we took those things, and then we just continued to improve, and they were really coachable.
Well, what was the key to this team's success then? You know, was it just a matter of getting the kids to buy into your system?
Well, you know, this group of girls, first of all, I think there's several factors. One, they're academically smart, so they have some discipline coming in. In the classroom, they use discipline, get good grades. They'll use that same discipline in the court. And another factor was their coachability. When I talked, they all stopped and they listened to what I had to say. They tried everything, and they gave a great effort in trying to do some of those things. And the coaching staff was a huge factor. We had a few returning coaches that filled me in on player personnel, and then also the history of the program since I was gone. I think we maintained a high level. And the experience of the players. We had several players returning, and they received honors from their playing, and so we built upon that. And so those were some real key things. My concerns was there the leadership and the followership. You know, was there certain leaders, and would everybody follow those kids in leading? And I was quite pleased with everybody. The seniors stepped up. I wondered how, with so many seniors, how am I going to get them all fit in there? And yet I knew I had some underclassmen that played at the varsity level last year. So, you know, that was a concern. But they all accepted my coaching, and I tried to get them all in there to play. And I thought we were pretty successful at that.
Oh, for sure. Well, I know your setter, Fiona Schrader, told me last week that it was a pretty big adjustment for her when you took over, because she was used to running offenses where she had a lot of freedom to make her own plays. You know, did it take a little while for you guys to get on the same page, or did she buy in right away?
Well, in that kind of situation with Fiona, I knew she was a very successful, highly talented player. So, you know, at first I gave her freedom just to see what she would do. And then we started building our offense around it, and so I gave them some freedom with the boundaries, and then we played within those boundaries, and the boundaries are all based on the players and not just one player. So some of the things she wanted to do, some of the players couldn't do, so we just said, no, that's not going to work. You see, we're not working with 6'2" girls. We're working with 5'8", 5'9", and then a 6-footer here and there. So we have to change some things and the tempo of the ball and things like that, the height of the ball, and so she understood once we got going, and once the kids we changed a few things and they were successful at it, she comprehended, okay, I get it, I see what you're saying, and she did a great job, and I think that because she stepped down there to try to meet the players at that level and do the things we wanted to do that caused those players to be successful, I think it all worked out really good, and I think everybody improved. She improved with coordinating and touching the base with all the players, and the players stepped up and gave her a lot more respect too, because they were successful.
Sure. Well, she obviously had a great year. She was a unanimous selection to the CIML Central Conference first team for the second year in a row, mm-hmm. and she was also named to the all-tournament team over there in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
You know, she's a pretty special player, isn't she?
Yeah. Fiona is a special player, and we've had quite a few special players in Ankeny, but her personality is a C-type, and she's kind of cautious and careful and calculating, which I like about a setter. And she'd listen to what I said, and she would consider my ideas, and then we'd go to work on those things. And a big factor on this team was their ability to change from one style of coaching to a completely different style, and she did a really good job with that. And fortunately, we have another year with her, and she'll step up into that leadership role even more, hopefully next year, and lead our team and be successful.
Now, you've had some other setters in the past who were pretty effective at dumping the ball for kills, but have you had any other setters, you know, who could really pound the ball like Fiona can?
No, it's been a long time since we had a setter like that. I think Belzung was my first setter, and she wasn't that tall, but she was a very good player. And we ran Bells in the same thing I tried to do with Fiona, because Bells was a left-hand setter,
mm-hmm.
and she was 5'9", 5'10", and she could hit. So we ran a 6'2" with her, too. And it worked out really good. And so when I came and saw Fiona's size, and we didn't have a whole lot of size, Fiona being the tallest girl on our team, I thought, you know, if we can get another setter working in there, then I'll get Fiona to be hitter, and I think she likes hitting. Mm-hmm. And so that was our that was what we went with. Unfortunately, Marissa Faber was got mono, and that took us out of our 6-2 and moved us into a 5-1 the last week. And the last week we had in our game plan that we were going to really work with Fiona, trying to work on her hitting and get it a little bit better, hitting around blocks, over blocks, and using blocks. But when Marissa went down with the mono, then we had to scrap all that, and we went with just the 5-1. And Fiona was, you know, that's what she's always played anyway. She just took that hitting element out of it. But when she's up to the net, she's so tall that if you don't honor her, and she's so smart, she can see that the blockers aren't jumping with her, that she's able to go ahead and dump the ball. So she's a tremendous asset at the net.
Sure. Net. Well, your team will have to replace 8 seniors, including Isabel Vosick, who was a repeat selection to the All-Conference first team. Casey Behrens was a repeat pick to the second team, and she was joined on that squad by Malia Doherty and Mallory Luther. So that was a pretty special senior class, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is what I've been thinking about the last couple of days is actually what am I going to do to replace these girls. However, we played 13 girls this year at the varsity level, and they all got an opportunity to get in there and play. And so we have about four or five coming back, and we can build around that. The JV team was very successful, and we have a great JV program going on, and they were successful. So I think we can move some of them up. And there's a few freshmen and sophomores that maybe they'll step it up this summer, get back in the gym, get to the weight room, do their work, and see the big picture, and want to be plugged in there. So those are things I'm hoping for.
Now, when your team opened the season at the Yankee Centennial Invitational and lost to Cedar Falls in the championship match, you told me that the Tigers were just one level above everybody else, and then they pretty much stayed there, you know, all season. Prior to the state tournament, you told me the same thing, and then you guys got a chance to play them in the semifinals. You know, you certainly made them work for it, taking them to 4 sets, but, you know, they just had a higher ceiling than everybody else, didn't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They had a great outside hitter in Brown, and they had who could probably be the best hitter, best player in the state in the classes this year. And then they had the 6'6 girl, the Yates girl at the net. And they just passed phenomenal, and they could dig and transition really well. And so they could get back into the fast offense. Their setter was phenomenal also. So they were just super strong. They had championship experience from the years before. So this was really their year to get the job done. And they were able to do that.
Now, I'm sure you saw the championship match between Cedar Falls and Valley.
I did.
And like your team, Valley was able to win the first set before Cedar Falls came storming back to win the next three. Yeah. Did you feel a sense of deja vu when you were watching that match?
A little bit. That match was just like ours. CF turned it up a notch after dropping the first set. They had the ability to adjust to a lot of things that you threw at them. For example, we rotated our offense so that Fiona would match up with Brown. But we didn't really have anybody to match up with Yates at 6'6". And so Valley, I think, saw the same thing we did, what we did in the game, and they tried to do the same thing. And they did a nice job in the first set. In the second set, they were winning, and then the middle hitter for Valley came up with a sprained ankle. And that took about probably 10 minutes in the game to get her off the floor and replace her and things like that. And I think that really gave Cedar Falls a chance to just settle down, relax, breathe, think about what's going on, and then they came back a lot stronger. And Valley wasn't able to match up with that.
Yeah, and once they get rolling, boy, they're tough to stop, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender, and you can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products that can handle all of your loan needs. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny volleyball coach Dave Wims. And Dave, we talked with Annie Stasel earlier, and she mentioned that you had nominated her for the Volleyball Hall of Fame, so she credited you with getting the ball rolling on that. You obviously felt like she was deserving of that honor. And I never got a chance to see her play. What kind of a player was she?
Annie was one of the best players in the state at that time. Her and a girl by the name of Abby Brown, which anybody with volleyball knowledge knows that she was probably one of the best players. And her and Annie were on the same team. They played for Six Pack up in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. And so the funny thing is, the first year I took a team to state, I played Abby Brown. And the next year I played Annie Stasel. So it was like, wow. And both of them were just phenomenal players. But Annie had a great year, great career, a lot of honors. And she ended up going to Illinois. But then she blew out her knee, and that pretty much took care of her at the Division I level. She stayed with the program, or maybe she even came over to UNI and worked with them. But we lost to their team when she was in high school. I think it was either 3-1 or 3-0. But she was pretty powerful and a big factor. I mean, that's the girl you had to concentrate on if you're going to beat their team.
And which school were you at the time? Was that North Kossuth?
I was at North Kossuth at that time. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're on the committee that chooses the Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah.
Is there a certain criteria that a person has to meet in order to be eligible for induction?
Yeah, there is criteria. We've based it on, like, if you're first team All-State, if you're elite All-State, if your team made it to the state tournament, your team finished high in the state tournament, they won state championships. So the criteria is all based on those things, and then we give points for those accomplishments by you and your team. And then most of all the points are derived by what players have done in high school, not in the college level, and since it is a high school Hall of Fame.
Right.
Annie had a high number of points. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I'm telling you it was way up there. and so then we just, as a committee, we consider her name, and we look at her at the data that she had, and then as the committee we vote, and we selected her and nominate her, and then we go through it and say this is the person we want. And so then it was kind of a no-brainer, really, with all the points she had gathered from all her accomplishments in high school.
Sure. Well, we talked to Annie about this. You know, there have been some great players to come through Ankeny in recent years, like Jaylee Winters, Megan Ballinger, Kenneth Sauer, Devin Robinson. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Right.
I imagine we'll have a few more Hall of Famers from this era eventually, don't you think?
Yes, you're right. And when the time comes, which is once you graduate from high school, then 8 years afterwards, they just changed it from five to 8 years afterwards that your name will come up to that committee. And then we'll take a look at your data and all the things that you have accomplished in high school, and then we do look at some of the college stuff, but not as much. And then the coaches or the school or someone recommends that player to be in the Hall of Fame, and then we collect that data, and the committee looks at it all, and then we, again, nominate, and then we vote on it.
All right, Dave. Well, before I let you go, I just want to ask you a couple more questions about your coaching future. Now that you have a year under your belt and your second coaching stint at Ankeny, you know, have you thought about how long you're going to keep coaching? Can you see yourself doing this for several more years?
Well, I tell everybody it's 1 year at a time. Right now I'm mentoring the staff, and hopefully in time one of them will step up and take my place. I'd like to see the program continue. I'm trying to mentor the staff in a way of, these are the drills that you need to do, these are the things you need to look at, and these are the techniques you need to do to get those kids to do those skills. And so right now I'm just kind of working at the mentoring part and trying to discover players and their abilities, and then share with the coaches, and then okay, one of you guys are going to take my place one of these days soon. I got things to do and places to go here. But it's been really a great pleasure to be back. And the staff has been just awesome. So right now what we're doing is we're down at the lower level with the AVBA program. We're looking at little kids playing and trying to develop their skills and things like that. So some of those coaches go with me to help work with those kids so they can see how to teach the younger kids the skill work and the type of drills and things they need to do. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, one of the things you told me when you came back to coach was that you're looking forward to coaching without having, you know, to do your teaching responsibilities as well. So did that make it a lot easier for you?
Definitely made it a lot easier. I had time to view many coaching videos and read a lot of books, and I have a huge library of DVDs and books on volleyball. So when I watch the players play and go, I need to tweak that a little bit. So I'd go into these videos and pick out a few key words and key thoughts and a couple of key drills to help get it across. And so I had more time to analyze and evaluate the players and then come up with a game plan when I went to practice that this is what we need to do to get them better. And, it was a lot easier, way easier.
Well, looking ahead to next year, you will have to replace a lot of talented kids, but you have some key pieces coming back. So yeah. Do you feel like, you know, next year's squad will still have a lot of potential?
Yeah, we have depth. We had depth this year, and we saw that. And then as I played those 13 players, so four or five of the players added on at the end with the practices. They were sophomores, freshmen and sophomores with some height, so they would work on their blocking skills against the varsity kids, which is always a good thing to work on at the end. And I told them, you know, with eight seniors graduating, there's going to be a lot of holes in our program at the top. So now what you do in the summertime and the off season, playing club ball or getting in the weight room or just getting in the gym and playing, we'll see what happens and come back with a fresh look, and let's see what we can do with it. So,
well, what are your biggest question marks about next year's team?
I think finding the kids with the right skills, and it's coaching to me is like a puzzle. So I have this piece and I have this piece, and now I got to find a few more pieces to put together with that. And I think we're set at the setter's position. We have Kenna coming back for the middle hitter. So we have to find a couple outsides and find a right side. But I think we have those players intact. And I've even mentioned to Marissa, you work on your hitting. Maybe we'll just run a 6-2. And when you're in the front, you get to hit. When you're in the back, you get to set. And that kind of opened her eyes a little bit. So, you know, you got to paint pictures for them all. And that's what I try to do in the off season.
Well, you said you think you're set at the setter position. You don't think you have some young kid that'll come up and beat out Fiona, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, some of them really want to be as good as her, and they've asked her to help them work on their setting. So they see what it takes, and they're getting some good coaching from Fiona too. So,
well, Dave, congratulations again on a great year, and thanks for coming in tonight.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is a junior middle hitter on the Ankeny volleyball team, and she led the Hawkettes with 8 kills in their loss to Cedar Falls. She finished the season with 139 kills, which ranked 4th on the squad, and she earned all-conference honorable mention from the coaches in the CIML Central Conference. She is McKenna Scheib. McKenna, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, McKenna, congratulations on an outstanding season. You obviously took a big step forward this season with your play. You know, in what ways do you think you improved a lot from last year?
I think my overall just knowledge of the game and experience helped me a lot to play at, like, the higher level with the varsity girls.
Well, coming into the season, you guys seem to have a lot of experience, but one of the unknowns was how this team would respond to having Coach Wims back in the fold. You know, was it a big adjustment for you personally?
No, I grew up learning to play volleyball from Wims, and so being able to have him back and have, like, his basics and his drills that I used to do as a kid were just – I remembered them, and I was able to do them a lot better, and I'm used to getting new coaches from club every year.
Well, what were your expectations going into the season? Coach Wims told us that, you know, at first he didn't think you guys had the potential to make a run to state title, but did you think you guys had that kind of potential?
Oh, yeah. I was really confident in our team, and I think we ended up about where we all thought we were going to end up. Obviously, we thought that we would have a good chance at the state title, but we made it really far, and I think overall as a team we did really well.
Well, your season almost got derailed on September 24th when you suffered a severe ankle sprain during a win at Urbandale. Now, how did you suffer the injury? Did you land on someone else's foot?
It was the first play of the game, and I went up for a block, and the person who was hitting landed underneath the net. So when I landed, I twisted my ankle outwards, and I got a really bad ankle sprain.
Yeah, your dad happened to show me the photo of it a few nights later at the football game. It didn't look very good. Well, you were out for 2 weeks, but then you returned to the court during a win at Ankeny Centennial on October 8th when Coach inserted you into the lineup for the third set. Now, how badly did you want to play in that match against your crosstown rival?
Really, really bad. I understand why I didn't play the whole time, because it was my first game back, and that's a huge jump. And even my dad didn't believe me when I told him that I was all good, but everything worked out well. And when I came in the third set, everything felt really good, and I was really excited.
Yeah, when your dad showed me that photo, he told me that your goal was to come back for that match, and he kind of rolled his eyes like, I don't know if she'll be ready or not, but that was great that you could come back and play. Well, you guys really peaked at the end of the season, reeling off 17 straight victories, including a sweep over Council Bluffs Lincoln in the Class 5A quarterfinals. You know, how much confidence did you guys have going into that match?
I think we had quite a bit of confidence. We obviously knew that we couldn't let that, like, cloud our judgment and our playing on the day of state, but I think that we really understood the team, and we were able to pick out the players and their plays and everything that was going on in the game, so we were able to react a lot better.
Now, do you think it helped you guys that many of you had played in last year's state tournament?
Yeah, I think that helped a lot. Coming in as a sophomore last year during the state game was really nerve-wracking, and to be able to go back as a junior and know what to expect and know how loud it's going to be and what it's going to look like, I think it helped a lot with all of our plays.
Well, then in the semifinals against Cedar Falls, your team came out and won the opening set, and then you jumped out to a 6-2 lead in the second set. You know, were you guys feeling pretty confident at that point?
Yeah, but we did know that they were going to come back stronger. A lot of our points, yeah, we played really well, but they did have quite a few errors, so we knew they were going to clean those up. And I still think we did a good job, but they were just able to overpower us with their big hitters.
Was there anything specific do you think that they did to kind of turn things around?
I think definitely Elena Yates in the middle. She's a lot bigger than us, and so she can put it pretty much anywhere. And I think it was really hard for us to read that stuff, because you can't really, like, it's either you're there or you're not. And a lot of the time it went straight down, so we couldn't really adjust to that very well.
Yeah, you don't see too many 6'6" girls in high school volleyball. Had you ever played against someone, you know, that just towered over you like that?
Yeah, I actually play club with her.
Oh,
I go
you?
To the same club as she does, and we scrimmaged versus each other every single practice that we had. So I got to have a lot of experience with her, and I also have a girl who's 6'5" on my club team. So.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
So you're the short girl, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys will have to replace the 8 seniors on this year's squad. You know, do you think next year's team can still contend for a state title?
Yeah, I think we're pretty strong. We have a couple returners that I think are going to help us a lot.
Well, how do you think your role will change? Do you think you'll have to become more of a leader next year?
Yeah, I think I'll have to become, like, a bigger leader because of one reason, just being a senior and having to lead the team and be the big girl on top. But I think also the fact that I'm one of the few players that does have experience at that level, I think it'll be a lot better for me to, like, mentor the other girls and help them with the game at the high level.
Now, I assume you're planning to play volleyball in college. Have you looked at any schools yet?
Yeah, a couple, but I'm keeping all my options open right now.
All right. Well, I don't know if your dad has ever told you this, but I covered his basketball games back in the day when he played at Ankeny and the Hawks won a state championship, so that kind of makes me feel old. But has Tim ever told you what a great basketball player he was?
Yeah, I hear it quite a bit from him.
Well, has he told you some stories, though, of what it was like to win a state title?
Yeah. It really taught me how you can't, like, underestimate any team, because they went into their games as the big underdog, and they were able to pull it out, and I feel like it helped teach me, like, you can't underestimate teams. Like, when you go against them, you have to come with your A game all the time, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, his basketball team did not have a lot of size. I'm sure he told you that. So he was one of the tallest guys on the team,
yep.
In fact. So, well, I know your mom was a pretty good basketball player as well. So how did you end up becoming a volleyball player? Did you play basketball when you were younger?
Yeah. So I played basketball since I was able to walk. Since my dad was a basketball coach and all of my parents all played basketball. And I was playing basketball all the way until eighth grade year. And then I quit my freshman year, so then I could play club volleyball at the higher level, and I'd say it's a pretty good decision.
Oh, yeah, it's working out well for you. So what was it about the sport of volleyball that you like so much?
I think I like the whole team aspect, and I like how everyone on the team has a part to do, like with the plays and stuff. Like in all a bunch of different sports, it's you can have like your one time to shine, and in volleyball you don't really have those because you work together as a team, and I really like that.
So who gets the most credit for passing down their athletic ability to you? Is it your mom or your dad?
Honestly, I think it's everyone in my family. I think all four of my parents played at a collegiate level for sports. So I got a lot of experience from them and a lot of competition with them. So
I'm sure you get a lot of advice from them too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, McKenna, congratulations on a great season. Good luck next year, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's S-T-A-N-B-R-O-U-G-H, at iowarealty.com. Well, we probably won't have a podcast next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but we should be back in 2 weeks with another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast and just a couple of other housekeeping items that I wanted to share with you guys. First of all, a shout out to my wife, Jennifer. She's in the hospital down at Unity Point right now. I hope she's feeling better, and I'll see you soon, honey. I know she probably won't be listening to this podcast, but I just wanted to give her a shout out. And if you happen to be a business owner here in Ankeny or know somebody who is, we're looking ahead to the year 2020, believe it or not. And if you're trying to figure out how you want to spend your advertising dollars, if you're interested in hooking up with Ankeny Fanatic and doing a partnership with us, we certainly have room for other advertisers on board. Just get a hold of us. We'd like to have a partnership with you in 2020. So if you're interested, give us a call. So come back in 2 weeks for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.